Psalms 30 declares these words. Verse 10 says this: Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Man, I might not have everybody, but thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto you forever. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening and makes to come alive, because it is alive, is sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it changes our very nature, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. The most important thing is that you have your way. Do whatever you want. This is your house and we are your people. We'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. You agree, shout amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor quickly. I don't have a lot of time. Look at him again. Say, I'm blessed for the battle. I'm blessed for the battle. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to literally take a very short time to give you this word. It won't take long to get us to where we need to go. How many people have an iPhone of some sort, or an iPad, or raise your hand, don't be shy. You got an iPhone, and if you got an iPhone, look on the back of that phone, and on the back of that phone there's an emblem or an image, and it's the image of a what? Apple. Yes, an Apple. Why? Because Apple is the company that has designed and manufactured the iPhone. In other words, when you got your phone, it came in a packet and it was wrapped in plastic and some type of cardboard. And it had with it, if you will, some instructions. And as a matter of fact, it told you before you operated this phone or iPad to make sure that you read the manual. How many people read the manual when they put your hand down, you're lying. You ain't read no manual. You ain't read no manual. You ain't read no manual. Just picked it up and you just started using it. You just tried to figure it out as it go along, because after all, it's a phone. And you didn't read the manual. But the manual is very important, because the manual, if you will, the word manual is really a compound word. But what it really means, it is the maker's mind on paper. The manual is the maker's mind on paper. The manual is the maker's mind on paper. And whatever gets created always comes with a manual, because the creator or the maker of the product always wants you to use it for its intended use. And the reason why the maker wants you to read the manual is because the image that is on the back of your phone bears, if you will, the brand of that phone or of that product. In other words, the reason why they want your phone to be successful is not because you are the customer, it's because they are the producer. In other words, your phone's success is not based on you operating it. Your phone's success is based on the manufacturer creating the phone to operate. Therefore, they put their thoughts on paper to make sure that you, as an authorized user of what they created, does not perform any abnormal uses. In other words, don't throw it in water because it ain't going to work. Y'all ain't said nothing. Don't put it in the toaster because it ain't going to work. Don't let your two-year-old, y'all ain't saying nothing, hold your phone because it ain't going to work. I wish I had somebody in here. In the same way, if you will, God, hallelujah, is banking on your success, not so much for you, but for him. Oh, God. Just touch your neighbor. I know y'all don't want to have church, but I'm going to have it all by myself. It is my birthday after all. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and say, God wants you to be successful. Come on here. The reason why God wants you to be successful has very little to do with you and have everything to do with his image or his brand. In other words, just like the apple on the back of your phone, that apple was created in the image of Apple. The Bible tells us that we are created in the image of God. For God created man in his image and after his likeness. And therefore, because we bear his image or we bear his brand, he has to make sure, y'all ain't said nothing, that what we were produced for, what we were purposed for, is going to get accomplished. Just go and nudge your neighbor and say, you're blessed for the battle. Come on here. And it is David that is now praying. And what he is praying in the psalm is very powerful, because in Psalms 27, if you will, David prays a prayer and his prayer is not being answered, and he's a little bit conflicted because his prayer is not being answered. Because when you are in the middle of hardship, in the middle of turmoil, when you are in the middle of chaos, if you will, your mind will begin to play tricks on you. The reason why your mind will begin to play tricks on you is because your mind, God, has to be constantly be renewed, because it, if you will, it was damaged by an unauthorized user. In other words, David said it this way: I am born into sin and I'm shaped in iniquity. In other words, you and I have to contend with constantly, whether we are believers or not, whether we are Christians or not, something called the neurology of our will. In other words, we have to constantly choose what God has for us rather than just walking or marching to the beat of his drum. We have to choose to do the march. The Bible says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings, but I need you to choose life. And so you have to understand that our minds were damaged when man decided to choose against God, and our spirits were left empty, if you will, from the essence of the living God. And there was a separation or a gap or a chasm between God and man. But the Lord decided before the foundations of the world were laid that he would make sure that he would bring back an authorized user to show us the purpose and the intent or the maker's mind on paper of what our lives were supposed to be like. Our lives, if you will, are not supposed to be void of hardship and void of difficulty. That is a misnomer. As a matter of fact, it is the difficulty and it is the pressure, if you will, that causes you to grow. If you had to look at it in a scientific fashion, just go ahead and touch your neighbor and say, my pastor is off the chain preaching already. If you had to look at it in a scientific fashion, I would have you to look at the lobster, because the lobster, if you will, can only grow under pressure, just like you and I. The lobster has to decide, if you will, if it wants to grow, because the shell that is under somehow gets to the capacity where it's not large enough for what's happening underneath the shell. And so the lobster has to go find a rock, bury himself under a rock, stay hidden from all predators while he's under the rock. But the rock is causing so much pressure that he has to choose if he's going to stay under the pressure or escape the pressure. If he chooses to stay under the pressure, then what happens is the shell that he used to have breaks off. And when it breaks off, it causes him to be safe enough from any predators that he grows another shell. In other words, it is the pressure that causes the growth for the lobster. In the same capacity, I wish I had a church in here. It is the pressure of your life that causes you to grow, but you got to choose, y'all ain't said nothing, that what you have been under, the mindset, the stress, y'all ain't said nothing, to either shake it off and grow a different capacity or keep on in the same old mindset. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm about to shake some stuff off. I just need a few folk in here. Turn me up a little bit, Kenny. I just need a little few folk in here. You have to choose. You have to decide if you're going to shake off old mindsets and old habits and old stress, shall I say nothing, and old fears and stuff that hasn't even taken place yet, and take your rightful position and stand in your rightful authority as a believer. I understand when you pray prayers and they don't come. Oh my God, the answers don't come quickly. I get it, but David said, the Lord is my light and he is my salvation. He began to declare, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And as he began to talk about what happened in his past, he says, when the wicked came upon me to eat upon my flesh, they stumble and fell. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a hallelujah for my past. Come on here. But also, even if I would cause myself to be in a situation where the enemy would rise up against me down the road in the future, I wish I had somebody in here, though war would break out. But in this too, David began to say, I will be confident. Why? Because I know the Lord will hide me in the secret places. I know that 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but none of it come nigh me. I understand that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I just need a little bit of consensus in the room. Therefore, if it is a hallelujah for my past, it's also a hallelujah for my future, because I have a history of what God has done. I'm not trying to marginalize nor bring your difficulty to a minimum. I am simply trying to highlight for you that truly it only takes about 5 to 16 minutes a day, if you will, to change your focus and to change your ability to shift, if you will, how your mind is going to respond to a circumstance, because you can't control what comes your way. Ah, God, you can't control what comes down the road, but you can control your reaction to what comes down the road. Ah, God, and in those 5 or 6 minutes, you got to understand just a few things, if you will. Ah, God, the Bible declares that God has blessed us, if you will, with a powerful and a sound mind, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a discipline or a sound mind. And therefore, when we direct our attention by capturing our thoughts, we provide, if you will, a target for our mental faculties. In other words, I can't just try to change my mind. I got to give my mind a target or a place to focus on, because if I don't give my mind something to focus on, then it's going to wonder and begin to imagine vain things. That's how God created the brain. Y'all ain't said nothing. This is why it's important to read the maker's mind that's on paper, called the Bible, for the product called the human being. I wish I had somebody in here. God, in other words, the way God designed your mind, he designed it with neuroplasticity. In other words, I know that sounds like a big word, but your mind can stretch and it can grow, and it can only grow if you decide to give it new, positive, and healthy thoughts. When you give your mind negative and toxic thoughts, if you will, they're being wired into your brain and they begin to lead to toxic and depressive thoughts. The Bible says it this way: as a man thinks in his heart, I wish I had help from somebody, so is what? Yeah, he is. And therefore, you have to understand that your mind contains the very power to pull you out of that stress, my God, into a stressless life. It has the power, if you will, to cause the peace of God that transcends all understanding to do what? God, your heart, I feel like preaching, and your mind in Christ Jesus. If you don't let God give you, my God, what I like to call a thinking project, the enemy will surely come in and step in and try to catch your thoughts and destroy your balance between your soul and your spirit. God has designed, if you will, precisely the brain to handle many, many thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us we use, my God, our powerful God-given tools for the smashing of warped philosophies. I wish I had, to the tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. Why? Fitting every loose thought an emotion, an impulse into the structure of the life shaped by Christ. That means when my mind wants to wander off and tell me something that is against the truth of the maker's mind on paper, I have the capacity to tell myself, shut up. Y'all ain't said nothing to me in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to tell myself, shut up. Y'all ain't said nothing. The reason why I have to tell myself to shut up, y'all give me 10 minutes and I'll get us there, maybe 15. The reason why I have to tell my mind to shut up is because how the Maker made me in the beginning. Isaiah said it this way, my God. He says he declares the end from the beginning. I was trying to help you all earlier, but y'all wasn't feeling me. In other words, before God starts anything, he already determines its end before he starts it. My, y'all ain't said nothing. That means if you even exist, if you even made it to the planet, God has already designed your end before you ever got started. Therefore, if God be for us, I wish I had a church in it. Who then can be a... Y'all ain't trying no church. Y'all ain't trying no church. Ain't trying no church. Pastor, what are you talking about? Okay, here we go. The Bible also says something very interesting. It says that God, in Isaiah, same context, that God will only do certain things for his reputation. Yeah, reputation is actually in the Bible. It sounds like this: for my name's sake. I wish I had somebody in. He told Isaiah, for my own sake, even my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give glory unto another. In other words, my image and my name is on the line. Oh, I feel an anointing in here. Y'all ain't said that. No. This changed my life. This changed my life. This is what makes me bold. This is what makes me believe God for $30 million miracles and $100 million miracles and shaping and changing West Baltimore. I got some big stuff coming up in 2017 and changing the landscape of how we educate our kids. Y'all ain't said nothing. And going after it in a very big way. Why? Because it's not my name that's on the line. It's God's name that's on the line. The problem is you're trying to do it for you. But if you can choose to do it for God, he will do something awesome in your life. Slap your name and say, I'm not blessed for me, I'm blessed for God. Come on here. That's why blessed is his battle strategy. I'm going to get to where we need to go. He says, for my name's sake, I will do this. It's all throughout the Bible. I don't have a lot of time to go through it with you. Luke 6:22, he says, blessed are you when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast you out. Watch me now. Why? For my name. Y'all ain't said nothing. People hate you. Y'all ain't saying that. Not because of you. God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Shout. But because you bear the name that is above every name. God, I feel an anointing in here. That is name. Look at your name and say, his reputation is on the line. That's why the enemy wants you bound. That's why he wants you sick. Because he's trying to say that cancer is above the name of Jesus. Y'all ain't said nothing. I wish I had half a church in here. That's why the enemy wants you defeated. It's about his name. If he can smear the reputation of God, he can convince people that he is not God. That's why when your iPhone breaks, they say, bring it back to me. Don't you try to fix it. I will give you another one. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. Don't you try to fix your life. I feel like preaching. Y'all ain't here. Don't you try to take it in your own hands. Give it back to the manufacturer. Give it back to me. Give it back to the maker. Don't fight me on this. You better get in the spirit on this one. Slap your name and say, I got to give some stuff back to God. I got to give him this fear. I got to give him this anger. I got to give him this resentment. I got to give him this setback. I got to... God, I feel like preaching. I can't get them. Daniel prayed this prayer. He said, oh, Lord, hear me. He said, hear me. And then he said, look, forgive me for asking. He said, hear me and forgive me for asking. But I need you to listen real quick and don't defer. Don't be playing around. He says, for your own sake, God, our God, he said, for your sake, I need you to do a thing. Oh, I wish I had somebody in here. Is there anybody in this room that's really believing God to do a thing, but you had a misconception? You want him to do it for you. And God, if you can get a revelation, God, do it for you. Not for me, but for your name's sake. I went and told people that you told me to do this. I went and told folk that I made it public. The reason why, let me get to where I was supposed to go. The reason why the enemy wants you in this way, fighting your mind and your thoughts and not capturing them and not shifting your mental project to focus on what the Maker said about your life. The reason why he wants you to do this is because the enemy knows that our normal is perfection. Oh, I'm about to lose it. No. Your normal is perfection. Look at your name and say, you look perfect to me. Ah, you can't even open your lips to say it. The reason is because you continue to see yourself in that same old fleshly mirror. But if you can begin to see yourself in the image of your Creator, you would then know that normal is perfection. With all of my flaws, slap your name and say, normal is perfection. Oh man, if you don't listen, church, come on, guys, I love you, but y'all trying to sit on this thing. No. I'm gonna get this in your spirit and get the turkey out your gut. Y'all ain't said nothing. Look at him one more time and say, normal is perfection. Come on here. Yeah, that is my normal. Perfection is how I get down. God knew what he made when he made it. He knew who I was coming through. He knew who my parents were going to be. He knew how I was going to be let down and abandoned. He knew it all. Oh, hallelujah. This will set you free. That means you can't be a mistake. That means God calculated all your mess and your madness and your mistakes and formed you and made you in his image and gave you the mind of Christ. Why? So that whenever you decide to think like him, it doesn't matter what happened to you. And the enemy wants to keep you ignorant of this fact that normal is perfection. Y'all ain't said nothing to me. That's normal for you. No. Exceedingly and abundantly is normal for you. Blessed is normal for you. Favor is normal for you. Healed, it's not. Oh God, I feel an anointing in it. That's normal. I don't have time to deal with this. Catching our thoughts is necessary because it calms our spirit so that we can then tune in and listen to God. Yeah. When we are mindful to catch our thoughts in this way, we change our connection with God. Watch me now. From uninvolved and independent to involved and dependent.
When you have the capacity, God, to quiet your mind to such a place that it can listen to what God says, and then you begin to do it, I feel an anointing in here. God, you go from being uninvolved, God, to being involved and dependent upon God. Because then God says, I want you to do X. And then you say, God, I can't do that. And then God says, I know, but I declared the end from the beginning. Y'all ain't said nothing. That means if I asked you to do it, I have already finished it. I can't.
If God asked you to do it, he has already finished it. Why? Because normal is, I feel like preaching, your perfection. It's normal because you are made in his image. It's normal because God desires a deep relationship based on love with you. It's normal because when you decide to capture your thoughts and not step on the minefields and the war that's in your members, if you will, you decide to live according to the will of God. And moreover, you become an authorized user, God, for what God has created. Look at your neighbor and say, you're looking at an authorized user. When you got your phone or you got your computer, it has in there, do you want to authorize any other person to use this thing? Y'all ain't said nothing. And you can give them a word or a password or a name. Y'all ain't said nothing. Or you can let them log on as a guest. I wish I had somebody to help me. But if they are a guest, they are not privy to, if you will, all of the information that is in your phone or on your computer. I feel like preaching in here. Sometimes you are allowing too many guests, y'all ain't said nothing, to log on to what God has not authorized. Am I preaching now? You let the guest of fear come. Y'all ain't said nothing. Slap your name and say, no guests, no guests, no guests. Only authorized users. Only faith can live here. Only love can live here. Only peace can live. Am I preaching to anybody in here?
David understands this because he begins to understand prayer. And as he begins to understand prayer, he begins to understand why we pray. Oh God, I'm preaching, but y'all shouting. He begins to understand that we pray because we are then authorized users. Oh God. Yeah. When we begin to pray, we begin to exhibit the authority of God. Because the position and authority that Jesus won was then transferred back to mankind through the spiritual rebirth in Christ. That means when you got born again, Jesus transferred back your rightful authority because you were created to have dominion on earth. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. In other words, what the enemy wants you to do is to possess your domain, but to possess it with an oppressed mind. He doesn't mind you coming in here jumping around for about an hour, but during the week he wants to keep your mind in prison. But if you can somehow become a free spirit with a free mind, y'all ain't said nothing, you can tell the devil to go to hell. I wish I had somebody in here with me. Prayer provides that vehicle that empowers you to let the enemy know no weapon formed against me, I feel like preaching to somebody, can prosper. And devil, you're not going to keep me bound to my own mind. I'm going to set myself free. I don't need nobody lay hands on me. I don't need another song sang. I'm going to make a decision for my destiny.
So David begins to deal with this. Oh, come on now. In the psalm. And the reason why he's dealing with it in the psalm is because he's dedicating his house. Oh God, I feel like preaching. He's dedicating his house. He had been on the run for a long time in his life. Going from one city to the next city and then eventually hiding out in the cave Adullam. And it was in that cave he decided and learned how to pray and
learned what his weaponry was all about and learned that he was blessed for the battle. It was in that cave that he had a sense of renewal of worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. It was in that cave when Saul's army came out to come and try to find him, my God, that he understood that the Lord would hide him. It was in that cave that when they came up on him at one moment and was going to snuff him out, the assassins of Saul, our God, he saw a spider web, if you will, weave so bright and so dense that the enemy couldn't see him in the crack of the cave. And that's where he began to write, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow." I wish I had somebody of the Almighty. It was in that cave, if you will, when he was in there with his mind and in his thoughts, because he was anointed to be king, but he's living in a cave. It's a mind trip when God has anointed you to do a thing, but the reality of it is that you're not in the position you're supposed to be in. But it's in that pressure, I wish I had somebody, that you begin to shake off stuff that ain't supposed to be in your mind, so that when you get to your rightful spot, you got a free and clear mind to do what God has called you to do. Am I preaching to anybody? There's a reason. Give me 5 minutes more. There's a reason why people sit on messages like that. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the spirit in the room. There's a reason why it was hard for you to sing hallelujah. There's a reason why your mom was wondering why they were singing hallelujah. There's a reason why you had to look at your watch and say, "I got something else I got to do. I got to go somewhere else." Y'all ain't said nothing. Because the enemy know, y'all ain't said nothing. That if your mind get free, oh God, then you'll have the power to tell yourself, "Shut up." You'll have the power to tell yourself, "I'm not going over there." Y'all ain't said nothing to me. You'll have the power to look that thing in the eye and say, "No more, not another day. I'm not living in fear. No, depression, you will not come in this house today." Y'all ain't said nothing. Disease, you will not attack my body today. No, fear, you will not grip my heart today. It ain't going down like that. I got a sound mind. My spirit can't fear. He knows. If you ever get it, it's a wrap. So he keeps you in the vicious cycle. Listen. The vicious cycle of the threat of battle. You didn't hear me. No. He comes and says, "I'm about to come and get you." And it never happens. And so you keep defending and defending and hiding and never go on offense. That's why God says, "Blessed is your battle strategy." I can't get help from anywhere. The moment you decide to come out of hiding, the moment you decide that the cave is not where I'm supposed to be, the moment you decide, "Wait a second, I was made in his image and after his likeness. He did not purpose me to live like this. He did not design me. Furthermore, he did not bring me a mighty long way just to take me back through all the hell I came out of. He must have something great in store for my life, and I'm going to see it in the land of the living. Not over yonder somewhere. Before I die, I'm going to see everything God has promised and God has purpose." Am I preaching to anybody here? Me to do. Before my eyes close and leave this earth, I will leave a legacy behind. I wish I had somebody in here. I ain't talking about me. I'm talking about you. Let me close. All right, here we go. Have a little church all by myself. So I wanted to preach to 12:30, and I got 6 minutes, so I'm going to do it. He knows that when you begin to pray, it's the vehicle by which you are meant to commune with the invisible God. It is the medium through which your spirit is intended to affect and be affected by the will and purpose of the Creator. You can't affect your mind. You must first affect your spirit. God, I'm preaching. God. And when you affect your spirit is the essence of the Spirit of God. That's the brand. That's the image. And it's when the Lord breathed into man that man became a living soul. So you can't do this thing without your spirit. Your spirit sometimes needs a shot in the arm. And God says, I'll give you the blessings of the Lord by the strategy that I have designed based on how I created you. I created you to be a reflection of my image and a reflection of my glory. So when you choose to pray, then I will authorize you in the spirit. Y'all ain't said nothing to go and try to do something that cannot be done. I wish I had somebody in here. And David began to pray. And as he began to pray to the Lord, he began to ask the Lord for deliverance and ask the Lord to get him out of the situation, because that's how all prayers begin. Father, how in the world am I going to get out of this? But in the middle of the prayer, David broke out into a praise song. And he began to say, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. In other words, David began to say, why am I tripping in this prayer? I got to give God praise for what he has already done. Because perfection is my normal. He did it for me way back when I was in the cave Adullam. Y'all ain't said nothing. Thought I was going to lose my mind. God took care of the situation way back when. What makes me think he's not about to do the same thing he did for me yesterday, that he can't do it today? For the same God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He began to sing a praise unto the Lord. And as he began to sing a praise unto the Lord, he was reminded in his praise that the anger of the Lord endureth only for a moment, and that his favor is life. And then he belts out these words, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Slap your neighbor and say, your crying days are over. I'm going to preach all by myself. Come on, slap him one more time till it gets down in their spirit. And say, your weeping days are over. Joy is about to show up right at your house, right in your situation, right in the middle of your chaos. Slap them one more time and say, the joy of the Lord. I wish I had a church in here. It's my strength. My God, it's not your joy that you should be happy about, but you should be happy that God is happy for you. I'm going to preach all by myself. He says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We stop reading it right about there, because all we wanted to do is be over. Slap your name and say, it ain't over. It's just getting started, baby. My God, the pain that you endured, yes, might be over, but the purpose and the promise is just getting started. Slap your neighbor one more time and say, we just getting started. My God, there are some promises that God has not fulfilled yet, and they're about to come pass in your life. 2017 is the year of taking new ground. You're about to show up in some places you're not supposed to be, and you're about to accomplish some stuff you are not supposed to. I don't care if you sit on it. I bind you, devil. You will not sit on this word. Slap your neighbor and say, I'm about to do some stuff I ain't supposed to do. I'm about to be some places I ain't supposed to be. And I don't care who likes it. Oh God, for the Lord is on my side. And if God be for me, I wish I had a church in here. David said, wait a second. He got a revelation. And he says, well, hold on. If perfection is my normal, and this is what it's supposed to be, he got bold with it. And the next verse says, when the weeping ends and the joy comes, he says, and in my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. Oh God, just touch your neighbor one more time and say, I ain't about to lose nothing, but I'm about to gain everything. God, I feel an anointing in here.
Just give me one third of the church that will boldly declare, I have lost nothing, but I'm about to gain everything. I didn't lose my peace, I got more peace. I didn't lose my joy, I got more joy. I didn't lose my praise, I got more praise. I didn't lose my job, I got my own business. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you ain't gonna be moved. You ain't gonna be moved. You ain't gonna be moved. Your position is about to be secure. Who am I preaching to in here? Not only is perfection your normal, but your position is about to be secure. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't gonna be moved. No more tossing to and fro. No more trying to figure it out. Am I talking to anybody in here? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Why? Lord, be my favor. Thou made my mountain to stand strong when I was troubled. And he began to say, I was crying and I was asking God to take me out of the pit. But I began to praise the Lord. And I began to say, God, what does it profit my blood to go down into the earth? Because the dust can't praise you. God, your name is on the line. Ah, God, I feel an anointing in here. And if I lose, you lose. But if I win, you win. Ah, God, I done went public with this thing. Slap your name and say, I'm about to tell some people what God is about to do for me. Because if I lose, God lose. But if I win, God win. Can I have some church in here? Somebody shout, yeah. I feel an anointing. And then David began to say, Lord, I want you to hear me. And he began to finish this up and says, I know you have heard me because you are my helper. And then David says something powerful. He says, not only did you hear me, but in the moment of my prayer, you turned my mourning into dancing. I started off crying, but I ended up giving you praise. I started off weeping, but I ended up giving you glory. You might have started this year crying, but you're going to finish this year praising. You might have started this year weeping, but you're going to finish this year with a hallelujah and a hand lifted up. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, I'm going to finish with a praise. Yes, I am. God, I feel the anointing of God. Everybody, grab somebody by the hand real quick. I know you're tired, and I know I wore you out. But if you got anything out this message, listen to me prophetically, please. I am not trying to hype you. Yes, my voice undulates because I like to have church sometimes. Don't get lost in the style. Listen to the content. And the content is sound. Normal is perfection. Stop trying to get your image off the ground. You were made in his image. That's like taking your iPhone and putting your own brand on top of the Apple. So when you send it in, the manufacturer will not honor the warranty. So you keep sending yourself in, and God says, where's my image? Yeah, I know. It was good. I know. Because if you have his image, he goes, wait a minute, my image is perfection. This changed my life. This changed my life. I don't know what it's doing for you. It changed my life. I'm not. This is normal. This is. I'm running around here like, thank you, Lord. And he see God saying to me, this is normal. Why are you doing this? This is normal, son. And I'm my jaw on the ground, and he going, this is nothing. You trying to get a building, I'm trying to give you a city. changed my life. I'm so worried about some building and he working on the city. And every time I meddled into it, he's going, that's not my image. So nothing happened. And the moment I let it go, folks start offering me schools and land and houses and this and that. I had to form companies to even take the stuff. Okay? Do whatever you want to do. I'm just trying to tell you. I was so busy. It's subtle. It's subtle to take you and cover his image. It's not malicious. It's your mind. It's when you start acting without even thinking about what God would do. Or more importantly, what he wants to do. You're just gone. See, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. And sometimes I can take the doing too far. So I have to wait and go, God, what do you want? Prayer allows you to do that. But in the prayer, David decides to get bold and go public. In my prosperity, I shall not be moved. What God has purposed for my life, nothing's going to take that away. So if I was designed to do a thing, that's exactly what I'm going to do. That guy, that group, J.J. Harrison and Youth for Praise, that wrote, You Deserve It. See, they were designed to do that. And had they not done it, then my life would not have been impacted. Your life would not have been impacted. Do you feel me? So, in the middle of the prayer, David begins to praise the Lord because he recognizes this cycle. And he recognizes that these two pieces, the prayer and the praise, which truly represents past and future. You know, kidding. I've been so prophetic today. You know what I'm saying? Which truly represents past and future. Because usually you're praying about something that has happened. you're not praying about something down the road. Most of your prayers, probably 90% of them, about something that happened to you. When's the last time you prayed and said, God, what do you want? When I said, God, what do you want? He said, I want a city. And then he gave me the word, City of Cain. Now that's becoming a book. You don't hear what I'm saying. You might not believe me when I say these things. And a lot of people didn't believe me when I told them that this was going to become what it is. Then they come back and say, it happened just like you said. I go, yeah, I know. You don't have to believe me. I'm just telling you what it is. And I'm telling you that you might have started this year off crying. You might have started this month off crying. But before this year ends, you're going to have something to praise God for. I wish I had a church in here. Whatever heaviness of heart, whatever burden you came here with this morning, the Lord says, I want it. That's what God wants from you today. That fear, that anxiety, I can feel it in the spirit. I can feel it so heavy, it's fighting me right now. I can feel it. Your fear, your anxiety, your doubt, your worry. I can feel it. God says, I want it. I want it. And the reason why you have that hand is because sometimes you need to know you are not by yourself. One can chase 1,000, two can put 10,000 to flight. Continue on that math, 300,000, 4, a million. It's more than four people in this room. It's about
800 people in this room right now. What can we put to flight if we do it together? So we're going to pray this prayer. And in the middle of the prayer, you're going to come up with a praise. And you don't have to praise him. If you're tired, you want to go home, go home. Okay. God bless you. I love you. I know the Ravens play at one. God, whatever. This is life and death. This is life and death. This is 6 more months of depression or 6 more months of a free mind. So it's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. It's up to you. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the assignment you've given me this morning. I thank you that you've spoken this word to us, that we are blessed for the battle. We're not blessed from the battle. We're blessed before we even get in it. And when we get out of it, we're blessed. Because whatever pressure we endure only gives us the gumption to shake off what we don't need and grow in a great way. Father, I thank you that there are people here today. Some don't know you, but they want to. And they think they got to be perfect, but it's not their image you're looking for. It's your image. And you provided that with your son, Jesus Christ. And so all they got to do is accept your son, for he's an authorized user. Right, God? And as they accept him, you will make them a new creation. For those who don't know the Lord, ask him to come into your life right now. And he'll enter into your heart, change you forever. He'll remove your sin as far as the east is from the west. He'll cast it in the sea of forgiveness. He'll wash you in his blood and make you white as snow. Your spirit will be regenerated and you'll gain the mind of Christ. And you'll be a free spirit without an oppressed mind. That's the love and the power of God. I pray that you open your mouth and ask them to come into your life right now. For those of us who are battling in our minds, for those of us who are wrestling, being tormented with oppression and depression and fear, I cast that spirit out in the name of Jesus Christ. And I declare you have no rule, reign, or authority to even exist in their life. For they are made in the image of God. And darkness cannot fellowship with the light. So we cast you out right now in the name of Jesus. You oppressive spirit, leave, go now. In Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord God, for those of us who are believing for big things, little things, that you will begin to do exceedingly, abundantly, and above all that we ask or think. And this will be our moniker, that we will bless you at all times, and your praise shall continually be in our mouths. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Let that hand go. Give God the best praise you got.